Father, we just praise you, bless you for this morning. Lord, I ask for your anointing in my weakness, be strong in your power. Anoint not only the giving of the word, but the hearing of the word. In Yeshua, Jesus' powerful name. Amen. We are living in most prophetic times, most dramatic times. The ground is shifting beneath our feet. Very soon you're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving. It is right now, in these days, and no one knows the exact day, it could be today, the 400th anniversary of that day. And with the year 2020 being the 400th anniversary of America, in the Bible, the 400th year is often significant, time of change. Well, in these days, we have witnessed great change for America, a plague on the land, the shutting down of life, our cities on fire, a nation divided as if America was at war with America, and the most radical agenda in American history, taking over the government that would expand the killing of children, promote immorality, indoctrinate your children against the ways of God, and cancel out the word of God and the people of God, which is you. And through it all, we're witnessing the greatest falling away in human history. And it all begs the question, what is happening? And where is it going? I was standing at the corner of Ground Zero when my eyes were drawn to a tree that had been just struck down on 9/11. It became the first puzzle piece of a mystery that kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger until I was led to put it in a book. That became the first book, The Harbinger. The Harbinger, for those who don't know, is about the mystery of the template of judgment in the Bible. The judgment that came on Israel in its last days with 9 prophetic signs or harbingers that appeared in the land warning of coming calamity. The amazing thing is those same 9 harbingers have now reappeared on American soil, warning a nation beginning with 9/11. Now, it's not about the Bible prophesying of America or not. It's the absolute central fact of the Bible, that the God of the Bible is the God of everything, the God of history, the God of prophecy, the God of now, and he is over all things, and who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God lives, and his word is the touchstone that explains the meaning of everything. And his word contains very clear templates, the judgment of nations, signs and warnings that come on a nation in danger of judgment that has known God but turned away from him. It's happening now. When I wrote The Harbinger, I knew that the mystery wasn't over. It was only beginning. Not just the mystery, but the actual progression of judgment. Since the book came out, the manifestations have not stopped. The harbingers have continued to appear. The mystery has been coming to pass. So I always knew the day would come when I would write the sequel. For 8 years, I held back on it because I knew I could only do it at the right time. In the autumn of 2019, I'm praying, Lord, what is the next book? And I get this, I get it's time now. And that the year that was about to come, 2020, was going to be a year of great shakings. And all the shakings that would come would be the resuming of this biblical mystery. And so I had to write it to tell God's people what is happening, where is it going, and what you need to know to stand. I began writing it January of 2020. 2 months later, the shakings came. The plague came on the world and specifically America. Became the Harbinger too. And now I'm going to give you a little taste of it this morning to set the stage. The biblical template of national judgment is this. Years before the nation's judgment, there comes a warning in the form of a strike, specifically an enemy comes upon the land. A strike, enemy attack on the land. It is limited in space and time because it's a harbinger, it's a warning, a wake-up call to call the nation back. Happened to Israel in 732 BC when the Assyrians came in. Happened to Judah in the year 605 BC when the Babylonians came in. It happened to America on September 11th when the terrorists came in. And it is from that event that the harbingers began appearing, from 9/11. Now, we don't have time to get into the 9 harbingers today, but things have never been quite right in America since then. And there's a reason for it. America is following the footsteps of the ancient judgment drama taken by Israel in its last days, and it leads to calamity. There are a number of biblical mysteries that began on 9/11 that I never shared in the Harbinger, only now, but have to do with what's happening or where we're going. When judgment comes on a nation biblically, its powers are broken. The foundations of those powers are exposed. America rose to military superpower. It began dramatically in the year 1941 when it entered the Second World War and it quadrupled its military. That year, a building was built or begun that would house the military, would represent the military, called the Pentagon. On 9/11, the Pentagon, symbol of our military superpower, was struck and breached. But when did the Pentagon begin? Began on a summer morning not far from here, 1941, workers gathered by the Potomac River to break ground. What day exactly did the Pentagon begin? The Pentagon was born on September 11th, 9/11. The building it replaced, it stood for 60 years. If you take that, go forward from the day of its birth, 60 years, it takes you to 2001, September 11th, the very day. The biblical template of national judgment. The power is struck on a day of its foundation. Now, the other great power of America was its economic power. That power was born and always centered in New York City. When was New York City born? It was born when Henry Hudson discovered it. What day was that? 9/11. New York was also struck on the day of its birth. The prophetic template, the warning, is that America's power comes from God. Its blessings come from God. But if it turns away from the God of its foundation, if it wars against him, those powers will crumble to the earth. Every Sabbath day, there's a scripture appointed for that day from ages past to be proclaimed in the synagogues across the world. What was the scripture appointed to be proclaimed on that last Sabbath just before 9/11? Turned out it was a prophetic warning given to a nation that had known God, but now was turning away, that its blessings would be withdrawn and replaced with judgment. And the prophecy says it will begin with an enemy coming from a faraway land and strike the gate of the nation. What's the gate of America? New York City. The enemy appears at the gate. And it says in the prophecy that an enemy would come upon the land like an eagle flying through the sky. And the original Hebrew says he will come as an eagle swooping down. 9/11. And the prophecy was proclaimed throughout New York City just days before it all happened. And the plane that began it all was bearing on its body an image, a sign. It was the sign of the eagle, not just an eagle, it was specifically an eagle, an image of an eagle swooping down on the land, the biblical sign of a nation's judgment. In the hours leading up to the attack, a strange thing happened. I won't say how it happened, but it happened. The ancient biblical sound that warned the people that an enemy was coming against the city began to sound throughout all the Northeast. The sound of the ram's horn, the trumpet, the shofar, the sound of the watchman began sounding throughout the Northeast of America. And it sounded in the exact places where the terrorists were going at the exact time when they passed through, all the way from Maine to Washington, D.C. For those who don't know the mystery of the harbinger, it centers on one verse, Isaiah 9:10. That verse speaks of the enemy attack, about the beginning of judgment and the defiance of the nation in light of it. I had no idea when I wrote the harbinger, but that on the morning of 9/11, before the government, the Pentagon, the intelligence agency, before they knew what was going to happen, believers all over the country were opening up their Bible to the same section, same scripture. What was it? They were opening up their Bibles to Isaiah 9:10, the harbinger scripture that speaks of the enemy coming to attack the land. And they began opening it up before it happened. How? There's a version of the Bible, you probably know it, called the one-year Bible. The one-year Bible has a scripture for every day. If you open up the one-year Bible to Isaiah 9:10, that's harbinger scripture about the coming of the enemy striking the land, you'll find a date on the Bible. The date above the Bible is September 11th. It was all there from the beginning. And the thing is, the one-year Bible came out in the 1980s. It was all there from the beginning. Now, on the day after the calamity here in Washington, the nation's government gathered on Capitol Hill to issue America's response to the calamity. The Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle gave the response. As he reached the finale of his address, he said, "There is a word from Isaiah that speaks to us now." And out of his mouth came the ancient words of Isaiah 9:10, the harbinger, the very words that the leaders of ancient Israel said in defiance after they were attacked that led to the nation's judgment. Well, he said it, had no idea what he was saying. He was identifying America as a nation under judgment and September 11th as the beginning. It was prophetic. The Senate Majority Leader uttered those words of not only judgment, but defiance. And then he said, this is what we will do. This is what America will do. In other words, we will follow the course of ancient Israel, which was defiance. Instead of returning to God, defiance. And you see, the mystery of the harbingers were not just about the signs of events. It's about what the nation will do. In the case of ancient Israel, instead of coming back to God, they responded with defiance. And that is the mystery behind what we have been watching in America since 9/11. We have not returned to God, far from it. Instead, we have descended into defiance brazenly. We are now not moving away from God. We are racing away from God. And the thing is, the harbingers have not stopped. The warnings have appeared. That's why I began writing the Harbinger 2. Now, we don't have time to go into them, but I will just quickly give you a quick idea. They appeared when the president, Barack Obama, at the time, paid a visit to Ground Zero. And there he was told to inscribe words on the beam that would crown the tower. Now, the tower is one of the nine harbingers of defiance. Well, he could write anything he wants. What he wrote on that beam was a modern English version of Isaiah 9:10, the words of defiance that the ancient leaders of Israel had issued and that brought judgment. Now the highest words in America are the words of defiance of God. They appeared also when he went to Ground Zero another time, a second time, and he spoke a scripture, but he changed one word of it. And the word that he changed turned it from a scripture of national blessing to a scripture of national judgment. The mystery appeared in the ruins of Ground Zero that I didn't know when I wrote the Harbinger, but there was a scripture in the ruins that was saying what America would do, and they've done it. The mystery appeared also, one of the nine harbingers concerns a tree that they planted at Ground Zero. There's going to be a tree that was going to represent how we're coming back strong, and we're coming back. They called it the Tree of Hope. But the Tree of Hope, what happened since I wrote the book, was struck down. It represented America, was struck down, and on a biblical holy day linked to judgment. It appeared in New York City when an image appeared in the city, actually and projected onto the Empire State Building. It was the image of a foreign god. It was the biggest image of a foreign god on planet Earth in New York City. It towered over the city. And it was the very day that the image appeared, the appointed scripture, it was a Sabbath, the appointed scripture was God warning the nation, don't ever make an image of a false god. The image was the God of death and destruction now looming over New York City. When judgment came to ancient Jerusalem, the critical event was when the soldiers of Babylon breached the city's defensive hedge, its defensive walls. Once that happened, it was over. It was a matter of time, but it was over. The walls were breached on a day in scripture called the ninth of Tammuz, the ninth of the Hebrew month of Tammuz. That day became a day of mourning to the Jewish people, the day that the hedge is removed and judgment comes. In the summer of 2015, America crossed a critical line. It was then that the highest court struck down the biblical and historical definition of marriage as the sacred union of man and woman. Marriage, as we know it, is a hedge protecting a civilization. But the actual date it was struck down was June 26th, but on the Bible's calendar, it all happened on the ninth of Tammuz, the day that the hedge is removed from the nation. And if not repaired, comes calamity. Ancient Israel was given a window of years in which it had to come back to God after that first strike, but it didn't. So it continued in apostasy. So too, if America was on the precipice on 9/11, it is now in free fall. We have not only called what is evil good, we have now gone to the next stage of calling what is good evil. In the last days of ancient Israel, they persecuted the prophets. They tried to cancel them. The day has now come in America, a nation increasingly seeking to cancel out the word of God, cancel out the people of God. So where does the mystery lead? What lies ahead? The biblical template says that if the nation doesn't turn back to God, greater shakings will come. And the nation will head to calamity. In the Harbinger, there's a chapter called Things to Come. I wrote it years ago, and in it I describe the biblical things that come on the nation that goes away after this. It says they will come, shakings will come in the form of economic disintegration, military defeats, disorder, civil disorder, division, the collapse of infrastructure, man-made calamities, calamities of nature, decline and fall. We have been witnessing all of them. In the first book, the question is asked. And the second one, in the Harbinger 2, it's answered. How long is it between the first warning strike and the time when the greater shakings come? In the case of Jerusalem's judgment, that first strike came in 605 BC, when the armies of Babylon invaded the land. The year when the greater shakings came was 586 BC, when judgment comes. So from the first strike to the coming of the greater shakings were 19 years. A 19-year period. 19 is a year or a number linked to judgment. What about America? When did the first strike come? It came in 2001. So when is the 19th year? Would it usher in great shakings? The 19th year was 2020, the year when the great shakings of the plague came on the land. And what was the name of that plague? It was called COVID and then the number 19. The prophet Jeremiah prophesied what would happen in the 19th year of Israel's judgment. He said one of the shakings, he said, is that a plague would come upon the land. So it has. There is much more to the plague, much more to where we are. We don't have time for it, but I'm going to share something that I've never yet put into writing. It begins in the Harbinger, goes through the Harbinger too, but it came true after the book was finished. In the case of ancient Israel, the initial strike on the land was carried out not only by the enemies of the nation, but by terrorists. The Assyrians were the world's first terrorists. They began terrorism. They're the fathers of every terrorist in the spirit. So too on 9/11, it wasn't just enemies. They were terrorists, just like it was for Israel. For ancient Israel, when it came, the years after the terrorist attack, they believed they were safe. They kept it at bay, but they really weren't safe. It was just a window of time God gave it to come back. And when the window neared its end, it all began to be undone. The terrorists returned, this time to bring judgment. After 9/11, America did as Israel did. It sought to beat back the calamity on its own power without returning to God. It drove the Taliban out of Afghanistan, Al-Qaeda out of Afghanistan. It looked as if it beat it. It had done it. But according to the mystery, if the nation doesn't turn back to God, the things that it tries to do are going to come back at it. America would be defeated. According to that, the terrorists will return. Well, for years, I wondered, when would we see that? In Afghanistan, too, where it all began. If you see that being undone, it's an ominous sign. It has now happened before our eyes. America was just defeated, fleeing before its enemies. The Taliban returned. Al-Qaeda returned. It was the return of the terrorists, which for Israel was a sign of destruction. Now, remember, I told you, the biblical template of 19 years. So 19 years from the first strike brings it to 2020. The question is, when did this overturning of Afghanistan, when did it begin? It began when the Secretary of State went to Qatar to negotiate with the Taliban to give them back Afghanistan and withdraw America. When was it? It was the year 2020, the 19th year. But not only that, what day was it? The Secretary of State arrived in Qatar on September 11th, 19 years to the exact date, the exact day ordained by the mystery. Now, I'm often asked about Donald Trump. I know that always gets some laughter. It's interesting about Donald Trump and the meaning of the Trump years. I'm going to share something with you that comes from actually a different book, what I wrote called The Paradigm, but that came to pass after the book, even this year. The paradigm speaks of the template of a nation's fall and the leaders who rise up and the dates. Now, I think it would be a safe assumption that Donald Trump is probably not studying the original Hebrew of Scripture, but he has been following a template without knowing of Jehu. Jehu was a wild man, impulsive. You never knew what he was going to do or say. If they had tweeting back then, I'm sure he would have been tweeting. But you never knew. He was wild. He rose to the throne in the time of the nation's fall from God. He made an alliance with the religious conservatives of the land to get power. He came to power after defeating the nation's former first lady. And then he entered the capital city with an agenda to drain the swamp. Jehu's reign was framed by an event in the nation's capital. It was this. He called for an assembly in the capital city. On that day, those who supported him laid siege to a building in the Capitol, a great Capitol building. It's actually a national temple. On January 6th, President Trump called for an assembly in the Capitol city. On that day, his supporters laid siege to the nation's Capitol building. At the end of that week, the Capitol Police announced they had arrested those involved. The number of people they gave publicly announced was, they said, 80 people. In the biblical account of Jehu's supporters who stormed the Capitol, the building in the Capitol, the number in the Bible is given, it was 80 men. The significance of that siege in the reign of Jehu is in the Bible, it represented a victory for Jehu against the temple of Baal and the force of Baal. But in the modern case, it's the opposite. It didn't represent the beginning, it represented the end. It was the victory of the forces of Baal. You see, on that day, a new government was voted into power that endorsed the killing of children, Baal. The ways of immorality, Baal. The encroaching of God's people, Baal. We are now living in the days of the reign of Baal. The reign of Jehu represented a reprieve to the nation's fall from God. It was a chance for revival. But there was no national revival. And when his reign was over, the nation's fall accelerated. So the days of Trump were a political reprieve, but there was no national revival. And now, if you haven't noticed, America's falling from God has been accelerating. These are the days of Baal. When the people of God, when you are told to bow your knee to evil, what happens now? If America doesn't turn back, the template continues. The nation heads to calamity and judgment. Is there hope? Well, the last part of the Harmony 2 speaks of the hope. Can a course of a nation, can it be changed? Yes. Is there hope? Yes. With God, there's always hope. But America's only hope is revival. Without revival, there is no hope. And remember, after 9/11, everybody was flocking to churches and saying, God bless America, God bless America. And it looked like there was going to be revival. There was no revival. Do you know why? Because there was no repentance. With no repentance, there cannot be revival. And so instead of getting better, we got worse. And there's one scripture, the key, and you know it. God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their evil ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. That is the promise of God. But it is based on words. The words are, number one, my people, that's you. Number two, the word if. We have to pray for revival as never before. We have to intercede, plead for revival as never before if we're serious about America being saved. But it is time to do something else as well. It is time to actually choose revival. It is time to actually start living in revival. The time is late. It's time to do it. It is time to rise to your call. If there's anything in your life that shouldn't be in your life, it is now is the time to get it out. Not tomorrow. Start today. Number two, if there's anything that's not in your life that God has called for your life, you are called with a high calling that you have not done. Now, today is the time to begin rising to it and not tomorrow. The time is late and if we do that, then revival begins. What about the future? Do not fear the future. Do not be afraid of what's happening. Do not fear the night. Do not fear the end times. Some of you say, oh, I don't want to know I don't want to live in the end times. Well, if you weren't meant to be here, God would have had you born in the Middle Ages. He caused you to be here. If you're here, God chose you to be here for such a time as this. And if God appointed you for this hour, then he will anoint you for this hour. And he will empower you for this hour. So don't worry about it. You just have to serve God for this hour. You were born for it. And if the dark is growing darker, it's time for the lights of God, to shine even more brightly. You see, the candle, yeah, praise the Lord. A candle that in the daytime, you can't see it, but the candle that burns in the dark, you see it, it lights up the world. You be that candle. And if the price to stand for what is right is greater now, then let it be greater and let's pay that price. Because in a day when everybody claims to be Christian, it doesn't mean much. But now the day has come where it means everything. And if the cost for you to be named as a disciple of Messiah is greater, let it be greater. Because you know what? It's that very cost that's going to make you great and make you who you were called to be. For these are the days when the grays are disappearing. Do you notice that? The dark gets darker, the lights start to get brighter. Many of you have prayed, oh Lord, I wish I could live in biblical times. Congratulations. You're here. It's here. Congratulations. You made it. These are the days when it counts. What a high honor it is to be chosen for this day. To stay, you know, when you watch a movie, what's the biggest part of the movie? The last 15 minutes. God has chosen you for the last 15 minutes. He's trusting you for the end of the movie. These are the days when it means something. These are the days of Isaiah, of Jeremiah, of Ezekiel, the days of the apostles and prophets. These are the days of Baal, when darkness sits on the thrones of man, but the days of Baal are also the days of Elijah. And you sing, hey, these are the days of Elijah. Well, you know what? The days of Elijah weren't just miracles, it was persecution. But it was the day of Elijah. If these are the days of Elijah, then it's time that we become the Elijahs of the day. These are the times that America needs you to be an Elijah who will not bend, who will stand against the darkness, live all out for God, and that can change the course of history. For it is written, the eyes of the Lord are searching the entire earth, looking for the one whose heart is completely his. You be that one. He says he will show himself mighty to you. You be that one. Proclaim the gospel. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Proclaim the gospel of the living God and do not hold back. When the world tells you to shut up, then proclaim it even louder. God has given you command. We do not serve man. We serve God. The enemy's been trying to stop the gospel for 2,000 years. But you know what? For 2,000 years, the gospel cannot be canceled. And the one who lives all out, God is going to bless you. Live bold, people of God. Live unafraid. This is what it's all about. Make your life count for him. Be strong and of good courage. He will be with you and he will never leave you. It is time to stand like Elijah before Jezebel, before a nation, like David to charge your giant. It's time now not just to read about the book of Acts. It's time to actually live the book of Acts. And God will give you the power and the anointing. It is time to proclaim, but as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Come what may, let the chips fall where they may. For we must proclaim, we shall not bow. We are not going to bow our knees to Baal. We're not going to bow down our knees to bondage and evil and sin. We are not going to bow down our knees to the gods and idols and sacred cows of this generation. We shall bow down our knees to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and him alone shall we serve. For we have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. See, every king and every kingdom will come and will go, but the name of Jesus will endure forever. It is an honor. And greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. For thus says the Lord God to you, Kumi Ori Kiva Orech. Arise, man of God. Arise, woman of God. Arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord shall rise upon you. In the name above every name that is named, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the light of the world, the glory of Israel, the King of all kings, and the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you.